The Dragon Reread is brought to you by the Armadillo Podcasting Club. Hello there, welcome to the Dragon Reread. We're watching the Wheel of Time TV show, and today we're talking about episode 8 of season 2 of the Wheel of Time TV show. I'm Jeff Lake.
I'm Alice Sullivan.
And I'm Mike Spartman. So this is the last episode of the season. How excited are we to be finished with this season?
I'm really looking forward to how conclusive this is going to be. Yeah. The thing I like about it is how there aren't any more.
This is going to be the best episode we've seen so far.
Well, okay, there was one episode that I thought approached all right.
We thought so.
We enjoyed it. One episode. Enjoyed one episode.
So maybe they saved it up, and maybe this is gonna be great.
I remember we were talking about this last time. This is the finale episode, so it's gonna go out with a bang, probably. I'm expecting some sky fighting. If there's not sky fighting, I'll be very disappointed.
That's right. They talked about it in the show, so they gotta be sky fighting.
Yep.
With like a flaming sword, hopefully. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. Rand and Celine and Moraine are traveling through the ways to get there. Do you think we're going to be spending a lot of time in the ways in this episode?
Surely not.
Are we just said, oh, we've been in the ways before, now it's just a shortcut?
Nah, I bet they're going to be grabbing shit off the cutting room floor from when they went into the ways previously and like throwing it in there.
That's true, yeah.
You'll see like the back of Nynaeve's head. Yeah, what are you doing in there?
Edited in torch right over Loyal's face. I'm not sure how long that Moraine, Celine, Lanfear team up is going to go.
That's a weird one.
It is a weird one. And if it doesn't end with Lanfear and Moraine and Portal Goo, I don't know what we're doing.
That's what we want.
Yeah.
And Moraine is unstilled again.
Yeah. Well, she was never still. She was fake stilled, which makes more sense, I guess.
Yeah.
I suppose.
It was just the tied-off weave that nobody had ever seen before.
So here's what I am looking forward to. Okay. I think they've executed well on the Egwene torture slave.
Yeah.
Arc.
So
it's been very hard to watch, very dramatic, and I want to see Rena get punched in her stupid face.
Do you think Nynaeve's going to punch her in the face?
I hope so.
It's probably going to be Elaine, actually.
It is. Yeah. They've been giving all the good stuff to other people.
Yeah, right. They swap their personalities.
You know what they're doing? They're Ron Weasley-ing Nynaeve. They're taking out all the good stuff about her and assigning it to other people.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
And we also, I guess Matt's likely, so he had his little drug journey, and now he's going to blow the horn, probably, right?
That's what's supposed to happen.
Wait, where's the Horn of Valyr right now?
It's all in Fall.
The Shanshan
has it.
Okay. So it's in the right place, at least. So somehow Matt is going to get his hands on the Horn of Valyr.
He's going to be, like, high out of his mind on Dark Friend Tea.
Yeah.
And he's going to blow the Horn of Valyr.
Yeah. And he's going to be like, he's going to think he's his mom's face or something, right? Yeah. He's going to look in the mirror and see his mom's face. And I don't know.
And that would be the biggest trip ever. And then all of a sudden, these dead heroes.
Am I still high? I don't know.
Oh, the heroes of... I would love to see the Heroes of Legend. No.
Yeah,
I hope they do the Heroes of Legend. I don't know.
Especially our favorite Hero of Legend.
Birgitta.
Birgitta.
Oh, do you think... I hope we get Birgitta.
Don't get those hopes up.
Yeah. You're right. Sorry.
I know.
Sorry.
I know.
You know what? No.
I don't think we are. I think they assigned all of her shit to Min.
Birgitta?
Like being cool. Yeah, all of Birgitta stuff. Being the baddest badass woman.
Okay. But... positivity.
Yeah. This is going to be the finale. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be the best episode that we've ever seen.
If they end up dividing up Rand's women, though, and giving, like, Avienda to Perrin...
Oh, that's happening. I feel pretty
I will burn this strong. House down.
They're giving Min to Matt, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, see, the Min to Matt makes more sense, but the Perrin-Avienda thing makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, bless his heart, you know, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but the guy who plays Perrin has, like... there's nothing that compels me to think he would make a good attachment with literally anybody. Like, I didn't believe his thing with...
Jesus.
I didn't believe his thing with Egwene.
Yeah.
Like, we saw his... whatever the fuck his wife's name was for, like, 10 seconds.
Layla,
was that it?
Okay, I'm glad you remember.
Yeah. She seemed pretty unhappy to be married to him. before he axed her in the chest.
I think that Rafe Judkins just doesn't think the world is ready for a quadruple. Or whatever.
The polycule.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
Let's do it.
So when we return, we will have watched episode 8. And we're back. We just watched episode 8. I would say it was all right.
Yeah, it was good. Maybe the best one so far. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect. I was never bored in this episode.
It was, yeah.
I could not say that about some of the other episodes.
I would say it was 90% really good and 10% really bad.
Yeah, there were some, as we will discuss, there were some parts that were just like, what the fuck are they doing? Why? Yeah. Why?
But first, I liked the little flashback showing Luz Theron and Ishmael.
Yeah, the Age of Legend scene.
Yeah, where they're, I guess they're binding him into the seal, and I guess so officially the Forsaken are all one, one is in each of the seals.
Or something, yeah. Yes.
Like with the in Superman 2, what they did with the bad guys from Krypton.
Right, each one is sealed in the crystal, right.
Yeah.
Something I think we're going to end up saying a lot, it started there. I think the Age of Legends outfits are actually kind of cool. Like they're like semi-futuristic, like, you know, magic outfits or whatever.
Yeah, they look kind of almost modern, but like they're also evil and wacky. Mm-hmm. They're great.
I was into it, yeah.
I think Lanfear had a different dress in every single scene she was in.
And they were all pretty good, yeah.
They were great.
But,
like, literally, she was talking to Bail Domon on the street, being like, I'm going to steal the seals. And then she walked up to Ishmael's room, and she changed clothes on the way.
You know, she could do that, right? Like, you know, if you have that power, why would you not, right?
Yeah.
All the time.
I think the ones who have the best outfits are still the White Cloaks, right?
I know.
They showed up at the beginning of this episode. It was just like this like slick, like silvery, like breastplate thing.
They look good.
The Shanchen still look cool.
True.
Yeah. And I thought the Lanfear in general, I think we agree, we kind of like her better than the one in the book.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, it's still early. But so far she's like a little bit more complex, where Lanfear in the book was very like single-minded.
Yeah, she's more multidimensional for sure.
Yeah, in the book she just sort of was possessive woman, like crazy ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
And in this, yeah, she's got a plan. She's buddies with Ishmael, apparently. Special buddies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, interesting.
Which I like that.
And I guess they were saying that Lanfear... Ishmael and Luz Theron were a trio of some sort in the Age of Legends, which mm-hmm. I think was something that was not the case in the books, although they were all kind of, all knew each other.
And the thing I didn't like is what happened to Nynaeve, you know?
Repeatedly.
It's the thing that happened in the finale of the first season as well,
mm-hmm.
when she ends in where Egwene heals her from death.
Yeah.
Remember?
Like,
that's a really good point. She got cheated
out of the same thing, and this time, it was Elaine who healed Rand with his dagger cut.
I felt set up again, because at the beginning of this episode, Nynaeve is putting on the Suldam outfit.
Yeah.
And she's torturing the Suldam in the collar to get information out of her, and she's acting all dark. Maybe it's just the dark eyeshadow that made me think she's getting all badass.
Sure.
And then the next thing that happens is Elaine gets shot in the knee with an arrow. So I guess she can't be an adventurer anymore. and Nynaeve can't heal her.
She can't heal her.
She can't heal her. She for some reason is not angry, or they haven't. Maybe they're not going to do the angry thing. Although it seems like they're going to do the angry thing, because Nynaeve clearly was not angry for whatever reason.
Yeah, she never gets angry.
She was just sad.
And that was the whole thing. She could only channel when she was angry, but she gets angry all the time.
Yeah. I don't understand why they've done her dirty like this.
I don't
so
get it.
Badly. Like, did she piss off Rafe Judkins or something?
Maybe they're building up to some big reveal in season 3, because I think they're already approved for a third season, right?
She sucks. Like,
there's got to be, right? Like they're weakening her and putting her like all these obstacles in front of her. There's got to be a big like release for that, right?
Yeah, like I don't even know why she went from novice to accepted. Like she's just been shitty this whole time. It's so unfair.
Yeah, she just kind of whimpering and weak and not Nynaeve-y and not anything else.
No.
Why does she get so much screen time, this character?
Yeah.
Which sort of kind of how I feel about this show. Like if you're a fan of the books, the show changes them in ways that are pretty upsetting. But if you're not a fan of the books, how would you have any idea what's going on here?
Yeah, true. Yeah, for sure.
I do feel like this last episode did a pretty good job with their own interpretation of a lot of the events.
Yeah, it's true. Actually, that's true.
They were pretty economic with it, too.
Like, the whole season has been leading up to basically everybody meets up at Falm and shit just pops off.
Yeah.
And it's very chaotic. And that was good.
Yeah, I think they did a good job. Like, the way they had Matt blowing the horn was not at all the way I remember it being in the books in many ways. But, like, it was fine. It was cool. Like, it was just a much smaller Hunters of the Horn army than I thought it was. Yeah. And they didn't, like, come rushing over the sea, but it was fine. Yeah, it was totally cool. Fine.
And they looked great. The Hunters of the Horn looked really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty cool scene. We spotted Brigida, of course.
Yeah, we did.
Fan favorite of ours. Yeah.
And there are some pretty cool looking other ones, too. I don't know who they were, but except for Uno.
Except for Uno.
Uno was randomly there.
It's just a Hunter of the Horn.
What do you expect? Of course I'm a fucking Hunter of the Horn.
Yeah. It's like, okay, thanks, Uno.
Arthur Hawkwing was there.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking for Guy Dalkane. I didn't see him.
Yeah, I didn't see him with the double swords.
And I'm pretty sure there was, like, the Chinese named one. It was that like, Chinese sword lady.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember.
But they all looked very different, and they all looked interesting, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, they were cool.
And Matt just summons them to absolutely wreck the day of this, like, 20 dudes standing in his way.
Yeah, why were they there? They were there to get wrecked by the Heroes of the Horn. That's what they were there for.
Yeah. But the ones that got killed by the Heroes of the Horn were the lucky ones, because Matt was stabbing some of them with an evil dagger.
That's right.
The Dagger of Eternal Pain.
Yeah, so a lot of folks died to that dagger today, because Matt made the ruby dagger into his spear.
That was a Brandon Sanderson solution.
Yeah.
I'll just not touch it.
Yeah. Hey!
Well, I mean, he was supposed to get the from the foxy people. Like, how are you going to explain that if he's not going into the other dimension?
Well, he hasn't got his spear yet, right? Oh.
Yeah, because that was his whole thing was he had the spear that was the part that was cut off from when he was in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was the spear that he was hung from.
Yeah.
And also, that I guess he got his memories this way by blowing the horn.
Well, did he? It was unclear, right?
That's what he said.
He said, "Oh, I'm a hero," and they're like, "Yeah."
He's like, "I remember. I'm a hero of the horn."
Okay,
and
so is this
Archer Hawkwing is like, "Yadoy."
I was fine with it.
Like, yeah, that's okay. Fine. It's good. Yeah, sure. It's cool.
I mean, it would have been hilarious to see him going to the other dimension and yelling at the fox people, but
yeah, that was the highlight of the books.
Yeah, as we discussed, it would be very expensive and difficult to capture the interdimensional travel that is necessary for the fox and the snakes.
I think the production team on this show would do a good job with it.
I think
sure,
so too.
Yeah. I agree.
Because their settings are, like, fucking great, right? Their sets are great. The costumes are great. Other things are the problem, right?
They could dress up a bunch of foxy guys with, like, human skin sex harnesses on or whatever they're dressed as.
Honestly, yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and so they combine that, so he gets the memories because he's a hero of the horn, and he blows the horn or something.
Yeah.
Cool, fine, down with it.
So when the White Cloaks are fighting the Shanshan, who are we cheering for in that situation?
We are hoping that they fight down to the last fighter on either side, and then those last two people stab each other to death at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, perfect, yeah. Which didn't seem to happen in this. I guess the White Cloaks sort of won this fight, but
this was a weird change. The White Cloaks just straight up win their assault on Falm against the Shanshan.
Yeah.
In the books, they are not doing very well until the heroes show up, right?
Yeah. In the books, they're actually a small group. They're not a big army.
No.
And that whole thing, you know, I don't expect full historical realism, but they snuck a siege army up to the Shanshan, like within bowshot of the Shanshan walls.
Well, it was really dusty.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
We never saw those siege engines before that moment, right?
The Shanshan have flyers. Oh, I guess they don't in the book.
Yeah.
They're supposed to have, like, aerial recon.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean they don't in the movie.
Oh, yeah, they don't in the movie.
Or TV show, whatever.
Yeah.
That's what the plot needed to happen, is the White Cloaks. They used the dust to sneak up to the door, and then they rode up and hit the door guards before they closed the door.
Yeah.
Did y'all notice that the horn only had one opening?
No, so it was a weird looking horn, but I think it had some kind of mesh on the other corner.
Did it?
I think so, because that's where the stuff came out of when he blew it.
Okay.
But it was very weird. It was the weirdest fucking horn I've ever seen in my life.
I'm not an acoustician, but I don't think it works that way.
Yeah. It's a magic horn.
It's magic.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was super sweet when he blowed it.
It was a great scene.
And it showed all the people, like, kind of at the moment of crisis, being frozen in time by the horn noise.
It was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool.
That kicked ass.
Another kind of fun scene, when Rand finally arrives in Falm and decides he's just going to go for it. He just like walks up to the front door, and there's the thing where Turok's like, oh, I will duel you with my sword. And he's like, bleep, 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 bleep. Yeah, he just kills them all with magic.
Magics him and all his guards.
Magic bullets.
Yeah.
That was
a very Rand thing.
That was a Rand plan, absolutely. Yeah. And it worked. It was great.
Yeah.
We don't need to do a big sword fight with Turok.
No.
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 I did like how he killed everybody except Turok's little, like, helper guy.
Probably.
Who then pulls out the smallest knife.
And like stabs himself in the belly.
I'm not even sure that would do the job, honestly.
Yeah. My guy, not really.
Like, he's going to really have to work at it, right? Like, yeah. He stabs himself, he's like, nope, not dead yet. Okay, keep going. Egwene, what do you think about Egwene's escape from captivity?
I think it doesn't track. I mean, emotionally it kind of tracks, like she's too strong. No, it sucks. Okay, I changed my mind as I'm talking. It sucks.
Yeah.
The whole point of the Adam and the Domine is that it's inescapable, right?
Right.
Otherwise, any of the other Domine would have been able to escape, right? None of them. Is Egwene the only person tough enough to resist the training? No, surely not.
So she grabbed someone else's
collar and put it on her. Adam, so they were each collared.
And put it on Rena.
But she shouldn't have been able to do that, right? Because at that point she was thinking of it as a weapon, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, and then she like used it to beat up Rena, to choke her, which is definitely using it as a weapon, which she's not supposed to be able to do. I mean, I thought what would happen is they did that and they'd be caught in a feedback loop and they'd both explode or something.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be across the streams kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she just chokes her out.
Egwene uses her torture training and kills her.
Yeah, tortures Rena into releasing her from her Adam and then just kills Rena.
Yeah.
Which was cool, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not mad about that happening to Rena.
Logically, it didn't make sense, but emotionally, it made sense.
Yeah.
And then they replaced Rena, the creepiest character in the entire series, with the new creepiest character in the entire series, Mogedion.
Yeah.
At the very, very, very end.
That was cool. That was a nice stinger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was saying, like, I think I might like this Mogedion better already, just like her, like, creepy, like, weaving thing.
She does, like, all her magic is, like, spider themed. Like her other magic looks like spider webs.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was cool.
I'm into it. Yeah. She's the weaver. Sure. Yeah. Why not? Right.
Even Lanfear was like, what the fuck? You are creepy.
But to that point, I guess now the other Forsaken are free, according to Mogedion.
Yeah. And there were what, six seagulls in that room? Something like that?
Yeah. So not 13, I guess.
Yeah. That's, not 13. So fewer. Tough. So they, I hope they kept Asmodian.
Asmodee is not going to make the cut, right?
I know, like, there's no way. But wouldn't it be great if there was just the musician?
It would be pretty cool.
the musician who everybody thinks sucks.
And he kind of does, right? Like, he just doesn't do anything.
He does.
He became a dark friend or a Forsaken because he wanted to keep listening to music throughout the era.
He complete his vinyl collection. And then, like, Rand makes him his little, like, court musician, and he plays music that everybody hates.
That's right. Everyone's a critic, right?
No, surely not. It's got to be, like, Simir Hodge. I think they've mentioned Simir Hodge.
I hope we get to see Grendel.
Yeah, Grendel would be a good one. And I guess probably Demandred or Samael or something.
Yeah.
The boring ones.
I think they mentioned... They did for sure mention Samael.
Okay, cool. I'm down with that. They're doing the Forsaken, basically, they're doing it really well across the board.
I agree.
The final battle. Ishmael versus everyone. I think that was actually kind of fun, you know. It was a little silly, but it was still fun, you know.
Yeah, they teamed up on Ishmael, and I guess he's just not very creative, because surely
he just kept shooting the same little fireballs
at Egwene's
shield, and that just didn't work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Until it did, and then Perrin popped in with his actual shield, which I guess
he has a magic shield now that Uno gave him.
I don't remember that part from the books, but that'll be interesting, right?
No, there was no magic
shield. Perrin's magic shield that he stole from a hero. Wait, did the shield disappear when the heroes disappear?
Good question.
Is it I wonder.
I assumed it was going to be like, he kept this, and it's going to be his magic shield from now on. That's what the vibe I was getting.
Yeah. And Moraine murdered an entire fleet of ships who she thought were probably up to no good.
He's like, those might be innocents. And she's like, I would kill 1,000 innocents. It's like, I am pretty sure there's an oath that specifically says you cannot do that.
I mean, I know you could twist words a lot when you're an Aes Sedai, but saying, I would kill a whole lot of innocent people and then doing it, it's got to be against the rules.
Well, she wasn't lying, so she was only breaking one of the oaths.
No, she was blowing up the boats. And, you know, if there happen to be some people on the boats, that's their problem, really.
I think they forgot that that's one of the oaths.
Okay, but they sure didn't forget that there was this magical fourth oath that Swan could use to compel Moraine in the previous episode, right?
Maybe the showrunners, they dropped the sheet of paper in that said what the oaths were in like a puddle of coffee on the table. They're trying to, shit, what was the other one?
What were those oaths? So you have to do whatever the Omerlin says or something, right? Yeah, I think that's the one, yeah.
It must be it.
But yeah, it was cool. They all teamed up. Matt accidentally stabbed Rand, which is like, you know, that's a mad thing to do.
Yeah, true. As you mentioned, Rand gets stabbed. And then there's a moment where someone needs to heal him.
You actually said this, and I thought for sure, okay, Elaine's going to try and heal him, but she can't do it. And then Nynaeve is going to get angry. It's not fair. I'm angry now. And then she's going to do super healing on him. No. Elaine just healed it.
Yeah, just healed it. Well, you know, as well as you can, that evil wound.
Yeah.
And but they still have their meet cute.
Yeah, that's right. That's the first time they actually met because they skipped that whole thing in Andor earlier.
I think they're going to completely remove, like in the books, Egwene and Rand's romantic attachment.
I think they're already kind of doing that. Yeah. Seems like they moved on from that because Rand fucked that Forsaken for a solid episode,
it
right?
It was pretty romantic that he came to find her, but
that is true.
I think that romantic relationship is going to be over.
Yeah, I think so.
It's
going to
be Elaine.
So
he needs to go impregnate his second cousin?
Something? Ish. You gotta keep the bloodline pure.
Yeah.
He wakes up and sees her, the light shining, sees this beautiful face. You look like my cousin, but in a hot way.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's they did Nynaeve so dirty.
Yeah.
Again.
Why?
Yeah.
Why even have her in the show if this is what you're going to do?
I don't know.
What purpose does she have?
And so I think they're just going to slow boil her. I really think that they're going to do the thing where she finally breaks through the block. I don't know how they're going to do that in this because they're clearly playing it. They're winging it a bit. But then she's going to be a badass. That's what I'm calling it.
Yeah, I hope so.
She's going to be the most baddest ass of all of them. They're just waiting to reveal her or something.
God, you remember how they had her break her block in the books when she was on the sinking ship?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, water was pouring in.
That'd be pretty amazing.
But that's not for a long time, if I remember correctly, right?
That's a long time.
She needs to hook
like book eight or something like that, right?
And it's been a minute since they've seen each other.
Yeah.
And
so far they are one for one on the book to season thing, right? And I know that they've already got a third season greenlit, so... Yeah.
Okay, the dragon, Moraine cat, conjures a giant...
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
To fulfill the prophecy that the dragon will be across the sky in flames, she conjures a giant flaming dragon that climbs up the tower and roars at the town, and everybody's like, yay!
Yeah, I mean, after the day they've had, right?
These people have just been in the middle of a battle with the Shanshan using artillery on their own people to kill the people doing street fighting.
As far as they know, this is the final boss, right?
Yeah, this is the end of the world.
Someone summoned a fire dragon, and now it's going to burn us all.
And now it's roaring at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, whatever. They need to end the episode somewhere.
Yeah. That's quite that was quite a finale, though. And they
killed Hopper.
They did kill Hopper, which had to happen. He's going to be in the dreams now, I hope.
So Perrin got mad and killed Geofram Bornhold directly, which I actually kind of like that. You know, I actually kind of like Dane Bornhold as the angry white cloak that has it in for Perrin.
Yeah.
Villainous guy. But in the books, his justification for having it in for Perrin was super weak.
Yeah.
Right? I thought it, no, because he did think he killed his dad.
He thought so, but just because Perrin was there the day his dad died. His dad was killed by the Heroes of Legend or something.
Okay.
But he just decided that it must be Perrin's fault.
Uh-huh.
But in this,
makes way more sense.
Totally Perrin's fault.
Yeah.
Super, super his fault. And he watched it happen.
He dirted the guy's dad right in front of him.
Yeah. And I guess what Aemon Valda, too, has been for Perrin.
Yeah. That was funny. He got
mauled for the second time by
again.
At that point, I would just forget Perrin's face. Forget his name. Know,
right? Next time you see Perrin, no, I don't see anything.
he's been twitchy about dogs ever since. I don't know. I just don't like dogs. I don't want to talk about it.
Solid. I'm sad that Ishmael is dead, or at least that actor has died.
Yeah, that's a good point. So Ishmael does get. stabbed by the flaming sword, as was in the books. And I assume at this point he's going to be revived by the Dark One, because that's...
They may not do that, because it was dumb in the books. How they all just came back to life.
Yeah, there's only a couple ways you can, like, actually kill them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or brain dead them? I remember that happened to one of them, right?
Oh, yeah, I got, like, yeah, compulsion
Didn't
fried or something.
Egwene break her brain in the dream?
Yeah.
Yes.
Was that Grendel that got that way?
No, it wasn't Grendel.
Was it Mageddon?
I forget.
It was one of the people who's really good in the dream, and that was the whole deal, but yeah, I can't remember, yeah.
Yeah. I'm disappointed we haven't seen Tel Rhaenyra. I always thought that was so cool.
Yeah. And it seems like it'd be cheap to do it, right? Just use the
sets you have. Yeah.
Just put a blue filter on it or something.
We sort of kind of see it. They go to the dreams and have dream experiences.
Oh, that's true. We did see the dream sex dungeon. That was definitely Tel Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, as finales go, that was pretty finale-y, right? Like, lots of... Like a big fight, lots of magic and explosions and stuff.
Yeah, lots of special effects.
Yeah, and absolutely some good payoff scenes, like the Heroes of the Horn and so on, you know?
Yeah, B+.
Yeah. Maybe one of the best episodes I've seen so far of this series. Mm-hmm. Despite the, like you said, 10% where I was, like, actually angry about it.
Yeah.
But the other 90% was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what'd you think?
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really, really good episode.
Yeah.
It was the strongest one out of both seasons.
I won't say this makes me excited about the third season, because I think that's asking a lot of the third season. But it was a solid ending.
Yeah.
So the third season will be the third book, which
probably,
likely to be the third book. It's a good book, so like good source material.
Yeah.
Interesting to see where they're going to go with it.
So when that happens, listeners, we'll be back. So that's it for this episode. Next time, it'll probably be a year before we come back and talk about the next season of Wheel of Time, the TV show. I am Jeff Lake. You can find me at jefflake.info.
I'm Alice Sullivan. That's Bluebonnet Cafe on Instagram.
I'm Michael Sparkman. I still don't have one of those.
If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please drop us a line at hello@armadillo.club.
We love hearing from you.
Please share us with anybody you think might like us. Please give us a good review wherever you found this. Please find out how you can give us your dollars at armadillo.club. Please like us in real life.
We're just so likable.
Until next time,
the light illumine you.